Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the Rangers Rabble podcast. Excuse me. Match reaction. I'm a wee bit feared to give my opinion because I was going to say something at the beginning there, but I'm not going to say it in case I get accused of just being far too negative. So, hello, welcome. Like I say, this is your match reaction. I am joined by Robert, Ian and Connor. Gentlemen, good evening. Welcome. I hope you're all well. Somebody's already getting me into trouble in the comments for my prediction. Which, yeah, my prediction was well off. But listen, end of the day, as the title of the video says, job done. We're through to the quarterfinals. Happy days. The performance was spectacular. It was excellent. It was one of the greatest performances of football I've ever seen in my life. We have got so many world-class players, people that come off the bench. Just, we are the best team in the world. That's about as positive as I can be, because I'm feared to say anything else. So yeah, if this is your first time watching on YouTube, please do give us a wee subscribe and a like on Facebook. Do all the sharing stuff and Twitter and stuff like that. They are the sharing and all that. Ian, my friend, I'm going to come to you first, seeing as you went on the build-up. Rangers 2, Air United 0, no red cards, no injuries. We're through to the quarterfinals. Perfect.
Yeah, fairly. Perfect, not fully perfect due to things, but we're not allowed, like you say, we're not allowed to be negative anymore, apparently. A very, 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 very positive start. The first 15, 20 minutes were superb, led by one player in particular, maybe two. But what more did you want for today? You just wanted to get through it, win the game, get into the next round, no injuries, no red cards, seven changes. You're going to have a few issues with fluency and all the rest of it with the players. So, I'm happy we're through. That's all that matters. Bit boring, but... Oh, no, that was negative. Sorry. But the next round's what it's more important about. So that's what we're there. Then we're there. That'll do me.
That's the one of the biggest points, to be fair, Robert. Right? We're through. End of story. That's all that matters. Cortez looked amazing. Diamandi looked okay. He looked good. There wasn't many poor performances. But all that matters is winning these games. It's been proven throughout the whole of football history that lower league teams can give you harder games than some teams in your own league can give you. I thought Ayr looked decent, as much as it pains me to say it. It's early days for Scott Brown at Ayr, but he looks as if he's got them playing well. They look confident. They look as if they know what they're doing. They're following their manager's orders. And their away support puts a lot of Scottish top flight teams to shame.
Listen, see with the lower league games, you know, you're onto hiding enough, not that you're expected to win, and then with that expectation comes, you know, they want a gut full of goals, which obviously didn't come. I thought we actually started the game pretty well. there was a bit of zip about us. There was a real threat down that left-hand side, which we'll come to, obviously, when we discuss the goals. But as the game wore on, I thought the midfield didn't really dominate in the way I'd hoped they were. Did we miss John Lundstrom? Possibly. I know he comes on to play later on. I thought Cantwell changed the dynamic slightly when he comes onto the pitch. And then the big striker, Silva, who we'll get to, I'm sure, as well. I thought maybe he overstayed his welcome on the park. I know he gets his goal late on, but I'd maybe swapped him around as well. But as you say, through, you know, and come May, June, whenever the final is and we lift this trophy, we won't be looking back and thinking about this performance, will we?
I certainly won't be looking back thinking about this performance, Connor. I feel like I'm just repeating myself because I've been scared by people in the comments into actually giving rational thought. But job done, mate. I've never really been one of these people who thinks that the performance is the be all and end all. When we had to, we upped the levels and we scored the goals. I want to touch on Silva because I'm going to bring in his post-match in a wee second. Not an out-and-out goal scorer. I still don't think he is. However, that's what 2-2 games or whatever it is now. But his all-round play, his link-up play, with the ball at his feet, how intelligent a football brain he's got. This guy's a special, special footballer.
Yeah, I think he's certainly got the signs there that he will be. And I've said before on the pod that he doesn't, you know, Wolves don't sign a player with that kind of price tag if they don't believe that there's something there. It's not to say they can't get it wrong, because they will have done, but clearly there is a player in there. And I think he's got real quality. Today, you know, it takes his goal really well, I must say. I think on the turn and, you know, batters it straight into the top bin, that's a really good finish. But equally, one, you're probably expecting him to score for there. And if we're being honest, Rabbi possibly should have scored if he can't Wales ball, which sort of defied gravity a bit. But now, that being said, he took the goal well, and I think he deserved it. My one thing that he did do today that sort of made me nervy, there were one or two moments where I felt he was sort of needlessly getting himself involved in wee situations that he didn't need to, particularly when he was on a booking, which, by the way, listen, I don't believe the first booking was a booking. I think it was a poor decision. But that being said, once he's on the booking, he just needs...
You think Colin made a poor decision in that game?
yes. You know, but, you know, I think after that, Silva just had to be a bit more careful. I get it, because you can see that he's determined. He wants to get the goals. He wants to get on the ball and do well. But sometimes you just think, calm it down a little bit. I mean, he had a few sort of flick-ons for headers that maybe you could do better with. But I think overall, you get the goal, you go 2-0 up, job done. You can't have too many complaints, because I think Ayr, to their credit, gave us a thoroughly decent game. They done what I expected them to do. I mean, I'd said in the post-match that they would be sort of deep, low-block defender and going for counter-attacks. And they didn't. To be fair to them, I thought they'd done that quite well. You know, there was a few moments in the game where they got in, and maybe a wee lack of composure here or there. But ultimately, as you said there at the start, you know, we got through it unscathed, and that's the most important thing.
Right, let's hear from the man himself then, Fabio Silva, who spoke to Viaplay seconds after the full-time whistle. So let's hear what he had to say.
Congratulations on the goal. How was that for you out there tonight?
No, it was very good, of course. I think the most important, we knew it before, sometimes these games can be difficult. The coach say to be aware, because it's a competition for us. We want to win, like the other ones. We want to win everything, and we do training for this. And we knew it, if we come not 100%, like 80 or 90%, sometimes it's not enough in these games, because for these teams, maybe it's the game of their lives. So we have to do everything in our hands, and we take the victory is the most important.
And another goal for you now. That's a couple in the past week. How are you settling in here at Rangers?
No, I think the most important is the confidence. The coach gave me a lot of confidence. The teammates give me a lot of confidence too. So for me, it's the most important, and I'm very happy to be here, of course.
What about these fans? Are you enjoying playing in front of them?
No, it's amazing for sure. The football is the best of football is the fans. We have the support of these fans. This stadium is special. The play here is so special. The environment. They always sing for 90 minutes. So for me, it's unbelievable to be here.
Fabio, as pundits and ex-players, we try and work out what your best position is. What is your preferred position? Because we watch you playing as a nine, which is no problem running in behind. But your link-up play is very, very good as well.
Yeah, I think for me, the best position to be in the first 11, of course. And for me, of course, I have a little bit of different characteristics of maybe the other nines. For example, Cyril is a little bit more in the box. I play a little bit more in the box. I like to link up like with another player, with number 10, to switch position. Or with the wingers, because I like to have this connection with the players. I like to touch the ball much times. I don't like to stay without the ball too much time. And for me,
it's just because when you receive the ball, you can see technically you're very good. How you receive the ball, your game awareness for somebody so young is very, very good.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. For me, it's a pleasure to come from you these words. And for me, which I training these things, for example, the coach say to me, for example, in this league, Scottish league, the defenders always want to come to smash you.
I used to play defender, I would have kept you, yeah.
To smash you.
I've been the same.
To smash you. So this is why sometimes in the training, when the ball comes, I try to play on the first touch, or I try to see other things, because if I stay with the ball too much time, they want this, so they smash me. So if you do on the training after the things in the game, is more natural.
Is this what the manager wants you to do at training? When you're playing in that number nine position, that link up, the bounce pass, the quick one twos, and move into space.
I feel free. I think this is the most important for me. I don't remember feel like so free like this, and a lot of time. So I feel free to play here. Coach give me a lot of freedom to switch position with number 10, switch position with the wingers, and for me this is important because I like to move. I like to be other parts of the pitch. So for me it's a pleasure, and I want to enjoy more time with them.
Thank you. Well done.
I mean, first of all, what a lovely guy. it has to be said. Robert, and to hear him say at the end there that he's never felt this free. Obviously, you go to a club like Wolves, you're playing in the Premier League, you're playing at a much higher level football-wise, so you're when you're asked to do stuff, you're maybe asked to do it in a more formational way. But to hear him come and just say, I don't care where I play, I want to be in the first 11, this is what I like to do. I like to link up here, link up there. I'm so happy to be here. The fans are amazing, and I've never felt more free. I mean, that's just brilliant.
Listen, this is the beauty of live broadcasting. I've got a wee dog just whining next to me, so if that interrupts, I do apologise. Listen, the manager has obviously got to take a large sort of chunk of that, because he's clearly given him a confidence since he's arrived through the door. And I think as well, you've seen how quickly the fans have taken to him as well. He seemed to enjoy that. The weirdest thing about that interview was when he said to Craig, and you know, it's great hearing that coming for you. Like,
he's just been nice. He knows Craigan's a wank. He knows Craigan's a wank.
I don't even think he knows who Craigan is. Does he even know?
No,
he's
I probably
don't. It's so it's just, it's a difficult one in terms of how to get the best out of him and what games to utilise him in. Obviously, we know he's only going to be here for 6 months. I don't think there's any real danger of him stopping on for next season. I think it'd just be too much in terms of wages, etc. I mean, never say never, but I wouldn't be getting too attached. I know people are in the chats and stuff, but listen, a lovely big guy, but we want him to be ruthless in front of goal and want him to get his numbers up before now and the end of the season. So be as nice as you want in your interviews, but when you cross that white line, you've just got to go for it. And I think he did in spaces. Obviously, he gets his goal, but I just think it's that adage, as I spoke about before, in these games against lower position, you're hoping he gets two or three, aren't you, not just the one.
But I think, Ian, the way that he's feeling, the way that he's speaking, his performances so far have shown that he's going to be this kind of forward, this striker that's going to be all over the pitch. But he's not going to stop, and he's going to be there in moments when the ball gets muddled about in the box and he's there to smash it home. I just think with the level of confidence that he's got, clearly with the level of happiness that he's got playing in this Rangers team, I have to hold my hands up and say, I was after the January window closed, I was worried that we don't have a striker. Or we don't have a striker that's maybe going to get his 20, 25 goals that's going to help us go on and win this league. But when you've got a player of his quality playing with the confidence that he's got, and feeling as happy as what he is at our football club, I think the goals will come for him.
Yeah, I think the goals will come from. He does do a lot of. I mean, his work rate can't be denied. He runs all over that pitch and he's chasing the ball down. He's trying to get the ball back. In and around the box, maybe just needs to do a little bit more. I think that's where Silva's kind of downfall since he's been in the UK has probably been. But our game over here is slightly different, obviously, to playing in the continent. So Portugal, Holland and whatnot, he probably found it a bit easier. But he's not scared of our game, that's for sure. And I'm impressed, but I still want more. Because if he's going to be in that number nine position, he needs to put that ball in the back of the net. And up until he scored, he never really looked like doing that today. But all the best strikers we've ever had have missed chance after chance after chance and then popped up with the important ones. And that's all that matters. He gets the goal. He makes it a little bit more relaxing for us because at 1-0, you never know. Just one shot. And you know what teams are like for coming to Ibrox and scoring an absolute worldie to get back in it. It happened all the time when we were down in the lower leagues. So happy with his performance. Could do better, but that's what he's here for.
Ian, I'm sorry, mate. I don't care. Let's see the T-shirt.
Now, look at it. Look. See? And it's got my name on it.
Oh, when you get a wee Rangers Rabble badge put on that and we'll start selling it. And I'll give you 5% of the profits.
It was my daughter. I didn't even know it was coming. It arrived this morning. My daughter made it. That must have been some awkward conversation she was having with the guy who made it. This is from my dad. What?
You know, but well, you do. No. To be fair, you do live in Norwich, so that kind of explains that.
Again, I'm not from Norwich, and
but you live there. You live there.
And she doesn't.
So, anyways, let's hear from the manager before we become another Facebook and Twitter meme. He spoke to Rangers TV shortly after the full-time whistle, so let's hear what he had to say.
Philippa, a 2-0 victory here and into the quarterfinals of the Scottish Cup. What did you make of that match this evening?
That it could have been much more than the two. Yeah, a few scrappy moments in their box and people saving balls on the line, and goalkeeper also played a good game. So, well-deserved victory, keeping the clean sheet also very important. We didn't give away almost anything in all game, and a deserved victory. Also important to give minutes to players who are or just in the building or coming out of injury. So that the squad is becoming bigger and bigger, what we're going to need in February, March, April and May with a lot of games.
Was that the kind of challenge you expected today? You said obviously you couldn't take anything for granted against a lower league opposition.
No, I expected a more difficult task, to be honest, that we had more difficult defensive moments. But for the moment, the team is really playing offensive football, football that everybody likes to see, but our organization stays good and we don't give away too many things. And that's important for the future also.
You handed first starts to Mohamed Diamande and Oscar Cortez. What did you make of their contribution today?
Yeah, Oscar played in his normal position. Dio played a little bit higher than he normally is playing. So it's important for both of them to take the minutes and get the connections with the other players and with the other guys. So it was really positive. Everybody sees that they're two good technical players who can add the team to get our goals then the next couple of months.
Yeah, and obviously you did make those changes and then the second goal did come. That must be pleasing for you to see that it doesn't really change what's going on when you make the changes in the pitch.
No, and that's the story for the last 2-3 months. So everybody's understanding the story and what to do in each position. So that's going to be our strength also. It's been our strength that we can make rotation, that players are 100% fit when they start games, but that we can make also changement with 4 or 5 players who can make the difference in the last half hour of the game. So that's going to be crucial for the next couple of months also.
And I'm sure you're now looking forward to the draw tomorrow to see who will face it in the quarterfinals.
Yes, of course. Always excited about that. But if you want to win a cup, you need to win against everybody. So to get our ambition, we need to win 3 more games.
Before I come to the manager's thoughts there, our chat is disgusting. And I want a few certain people to just to take a long, hard look at themselves and think if some of the stuff that they're posting is acceptable. I mean, it's hilarious, but is it acceptable? Because, you know, I can't bring it up. And I don't know how this happens on this show, whether it's the phone-in, whether it's the Rabble Extra, which you get on Friday nights at 7:30 right here on the Rangers Rabble YouTube channel, Facebook and Twitter, whether it's the build-up that we do to every single game or the reactions that we do to every single game, they seem to turn a very small conversation into some kind of game in the comments to see who can come up with the worst joke. And I will be fair. Some of the jokes are quite good. But Alex Miller, Super Chat, thank you very much, Alex. He's actually put in three. This one I don't get. Who put the ram in the Rama Lama Ding Dong? I don't know what that means. I don't know if anybody can explain to me what that means. And then he's another one. Thanks, Alex. Who put the bomb and bomb bomb Shawadi Wadi? I don't know who Shawadi Wadi is. Is that a pop group? I don't know. I think maybe. But thanks for the support, Alex. It's just absolutely mental. Connor, I would imagine there would be some people on the outside listening to that post-match and thinking that possibly Clement was being a wee bit disrespectful towards his opposite number.
Possibly, if you look at it through that kind of lens, I mean, I don't see how he's been that disrespectful, personally. His opposite number, to be fair.
I expected more of a challenge.
you could argue that. I don't necessarily think it's disrespectful. I think he gave a decent challenge. I think it's just a wee slide dig, because clearly with Scott Brown there, he's a big boy. He gives it out all the time. He likes to give the big I am, and you've seen him during the week in the press conference, getting the whole, oh, you know, I've got a lot of love for Rangers, you know, sarcastic sort of nonsense. And that's fine when he's playing for Celtic, because he can maybe back it up, but he's the Air United manager. What did he actually think was going to be achieved by doing that? Obviously, Clement's maybe got a bit wound up by him in the touchline. We don't know what was going on there, but ultimately, I think he's just having a side dig. Because to be fair, I would possibly disagree with him. I thought Air gave a fairly good account of themselves, like I said. In the moments they had up front, they probably weren't composed enough. But apart from that, they made it really hard for us. I do agree with the manager when he says that we, you know, should have had more goals in that game and it should have been more comfortable. But that standpoint, because we should have done, we had plenty of chances. We just didn't, you know, maybe we weren't as clinical as we should have been with them. And obviously you've got moments like Borna Barisic doing a lovely nutmeg only to blaze the ball into Gavin Asda. But those things happen, as I say. So no, I'm glad he's done that, because see, for too often I think we've had managers in the dugout and players who are quite happy to just let people like Scott Brown have digs at us all the time and never really give them a wee sly one back. So no, fair play to him, and I think Scott Brown can consider himself firmly put right back in his place.
I know. It's just that I'm surprised that a guy would actually shave his hair off for years to pretend he was a hard man, and then all of a sudden goes back as soon as he becomes a manager. Just goes to show what a plastic hard man he really was. Right, okay, Robert. The start of the game, the first half, really, I thought we'd done okay. Cortez looked brilliant. But like the commentary team said, they gave us so much space out wide. For the first couple of minutes, Cortez hits the post. He's got there right back on toast. He looks really good. And then we get comments like this. For channel member AMAC, Cortez looked decent, but not being funny, it was only Air United. I don't think it matters who it is. It's the boy's 20. He's come into a new league. It's his first start for us, and he looks like that. I thought he was tremendous. And just before you come in, Robert, another comment for channel member, Mark Doyle. Cortez looked good, but has a bit of Ryan Kent where the final product isn't there. But hopefully that's just a lack of games. The boy's 20.
He hit the post and he forced the keeper into a save. So I don't really know about that. I thought he was electric first sort of 10, 20 minutes. He looked like that's where all the threat was coming from, as you say. He gave the right back a torrid time, so he'd be getting a lot of space as well. So he was the real shining light of the afternoon, if you will. Scott Wright on the other side, I know he's involved in the first goal, but I thought he didn't have his best game, sort of flattered to deceive at times and didn't really get enough quality in the box. If you're going to pick on any of the wingers there, I think he was the poorer of the two. I think Borna Barisic gets the, obviously, he gets the first goal, but he could have had a second. There's another one that comes in, and he seems to, instead of just going straight down the keeper, he sort of tries to sort of pass it to the back post almost. It's a weird sort of finish, but there were sort of chances created, but just not taken. But certainly, as you see, Cortez, the shining light, everyone's talking about him. I think we're talking about him leading up to the game as well. The wee cameos that we've seen him, he seemed to get people most excited. So it was good to see him get more minutes today, and that'll only stand him in better stead for, these league games. We've always got Ross County midweek, so we'll see how much he features there. It was the midfield for me that, as I said, opened up, that was the gripe. Raskin, he's taking a bit of doing in the comments as well. I don't know if he was his best at the minute, and we keep saying we've got to give him time, but he's got to show what he showed to us previously, whether it is a fitness thing, or it's a lack of game time, or is it a mentality, his mind's maybe elsewhere, we don't know. But he's certainly got to grasp it sooner than later, because there's players in and around there now, they're all fighting for three spots, and we've got a lot of options in the midfield.
And I'm on mute. But yeah, no, listen, I completely agree. And like Mark says, I mean, you can see the potential in Cortez, a very, very exciting prospect. You and channel member as well. Big Jack B could have nipped off for a blue nose burger in Bovril during the game, and they still wouldn't have scored. That's why I was kind of saying in the build-up, I don't know why Robbie McCrory doesn't just get in in goals, because I didn't expect there to be, and I'm not saying they were good, they were okay. They probably played good for them, but it didn't trouble us, which I wasn't expecting them really.
We had a couple of chances, but they're through our own stupidity.
Aye, that's what I'm saying. I still think we would have been okay with Robbie McCrory in goal, but anyway, that doesn't really matter. Sorry, my throat's still giving me a jip. Right, Ian, we're going to come back to the goal. We'll probably talk more Cortez. We'll talk Scott Wright. We'll talk Raskin, Goldson, you name it. We'll talk about them. But let's just get this out the road. I don't want to talk about this for too long. The guy frustrates the absolute life out of me. He ruins the game of football for me. I think he's quite possibly one of the worst referees Scotland has ever produced. And I think that's me being nice. But as I remember, Herder says, Colin makes utter disasters of decisions, and Ian, water is wet.
Yeah, there's no surprise in that column. It is absolutely useless. And I don't want to say that he's biased towards us, because he's not. He's not. Useless. He is just useless.
Ian, that's an important point. Let's get that out the road. People will disagree in the comments, and that's absolutely fine. I don't think Willie Colum is against Rangers. I don't think he's biased against Rangers. I don't think whoever he supports, I don't care who the guy supports, right? Because there'll be referees out there who are Rangers supporters. There'll be referees out there who are Celtic supporters, Hart supporters, Command, whoever, right? I don't think he's a biased referee, Ian. I just think he is absolutely 100% jank at his job.
Absolutely. And what worries me even more is back along, he used to have a FIFA badge on his referee kit.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the poorest referee. I think someone put it in the chat. It might have even been you put it in our group chat, saying that he is the worst referee Scotland's ever produced. We've had really, really bad ones. For Silver's booking, because like Connor said, I don't think it was a booking, but he couldn't wait to get the card out. Oh, look at me, I've just booked Silver. I've booked the £35 million player. Look at me. And in the second half, he tried to turn it into the Willie Colum show, as he always tends to do.
He lost the plot, Ian. He didn't know what he was doing at one point.
No, and then he's given a foul against Raskin when there was no foul to give. And you know that the performance is bad when Michael Stewart's sticking up for the decisions against for us. If I don't see Willie Colum again, it'll be too soon.
Don't mention that man's name again. I'll talk about Willie Colum, but I won't talk about that dick. I know I said I wasn't going to be too harsh before I came on, right? So that's as harsh as I'm going to get, Connor. But his decisions and the way that he referees games completely affects the way that the momentum in games and the way that games go, and the decisions that he makes. Every referee is going to make mistakes, right? Every referee is. They're human beings. But it's the consistency of his mistakes. And it's to anybody who knows even the tiniest bit about football. And I only know the tiny. I don't pretend to sit here and pretend that I'm the all-seeing, all-knowing football genius, because I'm really not. I'm quite thick, right? But the mistakes that he makes I wouldn't even make them on a football pitch as a referee. So how's he making them? And how is he constantly getting away with it?
I mean, the million-dollar question, really. I mean, the thing is, as well, he's, in terms of, obviously not with us and not within Scotland, but with FIFA, he's held in quite high regard because he said, Andrew Afer, he said big games he's refereed in the Champions League, international games, and you do have to question why that is. I mean, I said earlier, I know I'm a bit lambasty for it, but there are better referees than him in the country. You know, I think it's... So many mistakes he makes, you just look, for me, I think today, I said it before we come on, it looked a very nervy performance for him as well. He didn't look comfortable being there. Now, listen, like I said before, I couldn't care less that he was there. I've never been one for, you know, you demand that a referee can't referee your games, but I think sometimes as well, the powers that be, the SFA, perhaps have to maybe recognise as well whether something's a good idea in that moment and go, is it the best thing to do to have the first game he's going to referee against Rangers where he's had that controversial incident before? Is it the best idea to put him in that situation at Ibrox? Who knows? But it's the inconsistency he's refereeing as well that I can't for the life of me understand, because it's like 1 minute, you see him book like Silva for a next to nothing tackle. And a couple of minutes later, there's an air player comes in, makes it. And equally, it's a foul, probably not a booking, but he set the stall out for himself early that he's given soft booking. So by any metric, you should be booking on the other side as well. you know, but those are perhaps subjective ones. The ones I can't understand is when he gives free kicks for something that just hasn't happened. And you're looking at replays thinking, what's he giving the free kick for? There was one night, Ayr got a free kick, I can't remember, it was like 10, 15 minutes into the second half, and it was in a decent area as well. And even on commentary, they're saying, what's he giving that for? Because you can't see why he's done it, but we shouldn't be surprised, because this is a guy who contrived to give Daniel Candace a straight red card for, to this day, you still don't know what, you know, for being there. So he's not a great referee. I think we'll have to accept that he's going to...
Can I come straight in with a question for you, Connor?
Yeah.
Right, it's from channel member Super Sal. Our referees are part-timers. What do we expect? Is that an excuse?
No. It's not an excuse. Listen, I'm for the idea of having full-time referees, but it won't solve all the problems, because ultimately, whether Willie Collins full-time or part-time today, for example, he still would have made the same decisions. And if you watch the Premier League down south, they are full-time referees. And even they have some clangers on occasion. I think clearly they have to look at it as a model. I think they need to improve it with the refereeing. I think even the VAR, you know, there's times for me where, listen, I understand they have to check every goal and things like that happen. I get that. But they don't have to forensically check for, you know, I mean, like with our second goal, you're looking and they're going, oh, we're just pausing because there's still a check here for a handball. And you're thinking, a handball where? You know, it's this pouring over it. We have to find a reason why this shouldn't be a goal. When actually what they should be looking at is, yeah, let's find the reasons why this should count. If there is something there, fine, you pull it back. But for me, we have to have a better quality of ref, you know, and maybe that is full time. They need to be better trained as well, because we've seen it during the week that it appears even VAR isn't necessarily helping them the way it should. Because again, you want referees to stand by their decisions, but not when they're wrong. And during the week, you've seen Don Robertson looking at a television monitor, clearly seeing that Dujon Sterling has made minimal contact with a player's foot, okay, at speed, and he sticks with a red card decision. And you're pulling your head out because you can't understand those decisions. But listen, full-time officials won't necessarily make them better. You know, that's the problem. It's the leadership and everything that surrounds it that needs to be improved. And as I said, you know, I'll stick by it. There are some decent ones. I still feel Nick Walsh is a good referee. I know people don't agree with me, but I do think he is. I know he gave them two penalties during the week, but do you know what? And here's my case for him. The difference is between his decisions there and Willie Collins, you can make a case for both those for reasons why he would give them. You can't make any argument or case, any solid basis or foundation to say why Willie Collins should have been brandishing the cards he did today.
Well, I'm going to take Studios advice, and I'm going to let Robert talk, because it's a wee shame, Robert, that you're on the sidelines. Listen, Robert, I don't like, as much as it would appear that I probably do, I don't like to sit here and and berate anybody, to be honest. I don't think it's not nice having people online talk about you and talk about how utterly useless you are. I mean, people talk about that about me, but they're right. They are right. But what they call him, I'm out of reasons to think that he is anywhere near good enough to be a referee in League Two, never mind the top league.
I think maybe it's ran its course, Willie, in all seriousness. I think maybe there's a wider issue in terms of him personally, you know, fear of repercussions, living with, you know, in the west of Scotland. I think maybe this is weighing hard on him, who knows? But to say that, you know, just put them full time, that will solve it, absolutely not. All you're going to do is squander more money on them and still get the same, you know, product every weekend. It's the way it's being ran from top to bottom. So no, I don't, you know, we don't really have a standout in this country, but it's at the same time we don't seem to be,
but he is constant though, Robert. He is up there as one of the worst,
but we don't seem to be promoting and demoting the referees like they do in England. We don't seem to be doing that. It seems to be we've got a pool of referees that we see week in, week out in the Premiership, and that doesn't seem to change. If the column doesn't get down, as you say, to League One and League Two, if he's having an absolute nightmare like he did in VAR some months ago. So, again, to go back to Connor's point, it seems to be the guys running the referee, whether it's Crawford Allen, he needs to take a bit more responsibility and actually start, you know, putting things in place to try and get more out of these guys, because it's certainly not going to be done by, you know, making them full time.
Well, I mean, GB in the comments completely disagrees with you. He thinks it's garbage.
Well, he's been saying it's garbage.
Robert, he wants to ask you, where in the world are part timers better than full timers?
The Shadow Chancellor, a guy on a podcast talking about Rangers. So I don't know, if you want to talk economics, you're in the wrong place, mate. So pass.
Can I just very, and I will be very, very quick, I promise. I know it's not usually me, but do you know what? One thing that doesn't help, and I'm going to just, in slight defence of referees, the level of pressure that is put upon them when it comes to Rangers and Celtic, in particular when that game comes up, but surrounding it for the media, and then you've got certain people, where I'm not saying they're in their chat, but you've got certain sections of fan bases who take it to extreme levels, and it's not just about commenting on their performance in the game, but they get personal and they make threats. And because one thing about Willie Colum, I know for a fact, that guy is terrified to leave his house because he gets death threats all the time. That's unacceptable, and that is not going to help a referee's performance with that pressure. And I think the media have a lot to answer for where that's concerned as well, because there's certain people within the media who live to put as much pressure on referees as they can to make sure decisions go certain way. So that's
football clubs.
Yeah, so that's another thing that needs to be looked at. By the way, I think we've been guilty of that in the past as well. I think we're all honest enough to say that. But, you know, we just have to, I think that's another factor that needs to be looked at as well.
And I think that's, I'm going to leave it here, but I think that's actually a good point. If you're actually looking to get into refereeing, why would you do it part-time or the stick that comes with it? Why would you put yourself in that position?
Martin, come on. I think that's a good point. They obviously have jobs alongside this. I don't think John Beaton's got a problem paying his mortgage. The guy's cutting about in Stone Island when he's known as a black T-shirt and shorts. So that, for me...
Why would you want to get into it? Why would you want to do it part-time? Why would you want to be a young guy now looking at the way that refereeing is and think, I'll do that part-time in my spare time with all the stick that comes with it? Why would you not want it as a full-time professional job, and then you can learn to deal? I don't know. Look, anyway, let's get off the topic of referees, because it ruined the game tonight. Let's not let it ruin the reaction, because we're nearly 40 minutes in, and I think most of it's been spent talking about Mr. Cole. So, Borna Barisic on the score sheet tonight. My mind will never change about Borna now, about his place in the team. I think Yilmaz is the number one left-back, and I think he will be going forward. But what I was thinking during the game and after Borna scoring is, what I think this might help is there's competition there now. Albeit, I still think, and I'm not being a hypocrite, I still think Yilmaz is by far the better left-back for me personally. but there's a competition there for them both to keep their levels up.
Yeah, and I agree with you that Yilmaz is the number one pick for that left back berth. But Borna being there doing that, that makes Yilmaz in the next game go, right, well, I need to be a bit better because he's had a decent game and scored. So it can only be beneficial for us to have that competition for places. And it is nice to see Borna score. He doesn't do it all that often, so it is delightful. And he could have had one or two more. He could think there was a potential for a Borna hat trick. How special would that have been? I'm giving him the goal. I'm not going to say that I mean, I've looked at it every single time they've replayed it. I've seen it a couple of times after. I don't know if it's just my eyes, hence why I've got to put the glasses on tonight, but I couldn't see a touch. I felt like it went straight in. There might have been a very small one, but that I'm giving that to Borna. I'm not going to give that as an own goal. So I thought he had a fairly solid game. It wasn't superb. It wasn't terrible. It was a nice Sasa Papach, 7 out of 10. Got himself through it. And then obviously Yilmaz comes on to and it was fairly seamless after that. You didn't really notice any noticeable difference. Maybe we've got Borna on the uptown because Borna's a confidence player, and if his confidence is up right now, then for the next few months at least we can enjoy some real good battles between them two for their starting place.
Ian, I mean, can I just really quickly, and I'll let you come in. People who are putting comments in, I'm saving them now so that when we're talking about that actual subject, I can bring them up. So if you've put a comment in, it will get brought up later. Sorry, Robert.
No, it was just, with Barisic, the celebration, I don't know if it was a cupping of the ears, but there was something to do with his ears. I don't know if that was a wee dig at maybe some criticism that he's been getting of late, and people sort of saying that, they'd rather he left and his time was up. But listen, he gets the goal, as I say, should have got a second. We all want Radovan Yilmaz to succeed in that position, but we're going to have Barisic there till the end of the season. So we're going to see him in and out. I think there's going to be a bit of rotation there. The manager's also alluded to how important rotation is going to be. So I certainly think that's going to be one of the positions that gets that. Martin's just dipped out, but I'm sure he's going to dip back. Let's just move on to their chances quickly, Connor, because they come from the two centre-halves. Firstly, Goldson, so I don't know if he sort of overruns it and then loses out in a United sort of counter. And obviously the second one then Suter, sort of similar area of the park, more on the left-hand side, he loses the ball as well and Hibs break. Were we having any real trouble there?
I don't think we were in any real major trouble there, no. Mainly because of the opponent, really. I think against a better quality opponent, we could have been. But listen, I think it's just, when they're not asked to do a lot in the game, when it then does come time for them to, it's about constantly staying switched on and staying concentrated and covering each other. And to be fair, I thought there were times today that was done well. I think Suter covered really well for Goldson earlier on in the game. And a one-on-one, and he was smart as well. He bided his time to make the tackle, waited for the slightly heavy touch for the striker and gets in. And it's a real good challenge because it's the kind of area that if he mistimes that, and I think, Hutton said that on the comms as well, if he mistimes it, he's giving away not only a penalty, but every chance he's then getting red carded because he's clearly, there's nobody else there to stop him. So I think he's done that well. I think it's difficult though because how many times this season have we chopped and changed the partnerships at the back, whether it be the centre-backs, whether it be the left-backs? I mean, the only constant really has been Tavernier, possibly Goldson, although he's missed one or two games for a couple of reasons. But in general terms, it's just that consistency. But I think, there was never a point today where I was really worried about it. I thought we handled most of what was thrown at us fairly well. Which wasn't a lot. Although, as I say, against better quality teams, you just need to stay that wee bit more switched on.
But that's the thing, isn't it, Ian? This is the best defence in the league. And then, it seems like every week we're on this pod, we're talking about defensive errors, we're talking about individual performances at the back. It really is a bit of a head-scratcher.
It's a little bit, but the man next to him is beginning to be a hell of a solid centre-back for us. I mean, Goldson, he seemed nervy, particularly second half. He seemed really, really nervous. But the guy next to him, Suter, was all over everything.
I mean, that guy's got some great feet for a big man, as they like to say. He can run that ball out of defence. He can ping a pass. So luckily for him, he's for Golton, he's got Suter there saving him here, there and everywhere. I think when we look at Golton, he's always been the best defender in a defence that struggles, and he always looks better when he's got someone who's struggling next to him. I think Suter is quickly becoming what we want Golton to still be. I mean, that 55 season, Golton was untouchable, but he's lost a bit since then, but age will do that to you. But I don't think he's the Golton of a couple of years ago. I think that Suter might be ready to step up and take his place, personally.
Well, can we actually discuss Suter then, Robert? Because we're always accused on here of being negative. So let's, for me anyway, let's be positive. In recent games, again tonight, John Suter's colossal at the back for us, isn't he?
Listen, I'd said a few weeks ago when I appeared that, I think it's time for him to start to step up and show he's come with a lot of promise. I know he's had a couple of injuries as well, and then we seem to be sort of looking around under Michael Beale at the start of the season for a partner for Conor Golton. It looked like it was going to be Leon Balogun from Dens Park almost, but now this injury to him may see sort of get his chance, but I love the way he kind of steps out as well. He's not afraid to bring the ball forward and get things going. But as the lads were saying there while you were off shot, that, you know, he can get back and he's covering for Conor Golton as well. So he's always aware of...
He's quicker than he looks.
Aye, he is. Somebody put in the comments there that he's no slouch. So maybe we are starting to see the best of this guy. Is it, you know, good timing because the Euros are coming and obviously Scotland are going? Could he force his way in there? Who sort of knows? But if it gets the best out of him and it motivates him, then it all the better for Rangers. But certainly today, I thought on the whole, he was confident, he was calm, and I'm sure he'll keep his place ahead of Wednesday because the manager sort of said that Leon's got to see a specialist and get a mask fitted and stuff. There's still sort of some stuff to do this. I don't know if he'll be available for County or St Johnstone next week, so it looks like it's Suter's jersey to keep.
There's a few people in the comments asking if I'm all right, saying I look terrible. I always look terrible. I've just got a sore throat, a chest infection, and I'm...
Listen, that's polite given some of the comments that have come in tonight about guys in the panel, trust me.
Well, yeah, people are always polite about me, but I don't know why. But yeah, listen, man flu, I'll get over it. Is there possibly a comment to be had then, Ian? I get that we're light on numbers, but obviously we've seen Ben Davies back on the bench tonight. I wasn't expecting him to come on and get any minutes. Although he prefers to play to the left, I think Suter might actually prefer to play on the right, I'm not sure. Is there a conversation to be had around Conor Golton?
That was what I was alluding to when you jumped back in, is that I think that Suter is the man to take his place. I think we found that replacement for Conor Golton, should we feel the need to either swap it about a bit, or indeed, if an offer comes in at the end of the season, move him on. It's then, as someone has asked, who then partners Suter in the centre of defence? And they didn't think it was Ben Davies that could do it. Balogun would fit in there. But again, come the summer, that back four, I think, will get changed a bit more. I don't think when previous manager came in, his friends were already in the back line, so he was never going to really change it much. I do think come the start of in the summer, I think it's more looking for someone who can play with Suter in that back four than it is looking for someone to play with Conor Golton. That's what I think anyway. And I agree with the comment that you popped up earlier on that there's a potential future captain in Suter for at Rangers as well.
And look, I'm going to repeat what Robert said. We're saying this and we've got the best defence in the league, which sounds crazy to be having discussions like this. It should be a case of, no, it's Golton and Suter. It's Davies when he comes back from injury. They'll rotate. Brad Balogun will come in there. Leon King can come in when somebody else needs a rest. The defence is doing absolutely fine, but sometimes you just need to look past numbers.
Martin, I was going to say, does that come back to that argument Kieran Lewis like to have about stats not really being the full thing? You know, it's what you see with your eyes as well.
No, I think it is, but then people will argue back to you with stats.
Yeah,
which is a fair argument, but you've just got to put forward what you see. Right, okay, Connor. Another comment from channel member AMAC Raskin. Thoughts?
I don't think he showed his best game today, if I'm being brutally honest. But he had moments back. I think I thought his final ball was really poor, it has to be said, a lot of the time. And you could see he was getting a wee bit frustrated once or twice, which is understandable because it just wasn't his day. I think Stu actually in the chat probably summed it up better than I could, that he'll have game masking where he's playing terrific balls all day long, and he's doing the business, but then he'll have games like today where he's having 3, 4, 5 wayward passes and it's not really clicking for him. So I think it was just one of those days. I still like Kraski, and I think he's got plenty of ability there. But, you know, as we said before the game, he's got to start proving that on the park a lot more often. Because he's spoke about wanting big moves and all that sort of stuff. You're not going to get, on a performance like today, he ain't getting a big move. You know what I mean? He's got to sort of turn up. But I take GB's point there, and I think that's a very valid point, that he is still coming back for injury, so he's maybe not quite 100% where he needs to be. But I think we'll see better from him in more games to come. I just don't think today was his day, really, where that was concerned. And, you know, it's one of those ones he possibly could have got hooked earlier than he did, but come on, kept him on and was obviously, you know, I think he believes in Raskin and that he can offer something to the team. So, you know, I absolutely believe in him as well. I just didn't think it was his day.
Aye, right. Ian, you're shaking your head at that, right? So I'll let you come back in on that. But I have to agree. Look, I don't think we've actually seen how good Raskin can be. I think we've seen him play well for us. I think we've seen snippets of what he can do. But it was a pretty bad injury that he had, Ian, and he is coming back and he's still trying to find his match sharpness. And he's certainly not a player who I'm sitting yet and I'm saying, nah, the jury's in. He's done. I know there's a lot of people unhappy, but I think he's got a lot to offer. And I think, obviously, with Sterling coming into the midfield and looking good, we've brought in Diamande, who's made a decent first impression. I think that's maybe ranking up the pressure on Raskin. But I think there's still a lot more to come.
Oh, the only bit I'm shaking my head on is the he's just come back from injury bit. Because he came back from injury just before Christmas. It's February. He's had a mini pre-season away in the break. And he's been getting minutes pretty much every single game. So we can't keep using the excuse of he's just coming back from injury, because how long do we give him to come back from an injury? But everybody at Rangers picks up a knock here, there and everywhere. We don't. Every other week goes by, we've got somebody else who's picked up a knock. So there is a player in there, and when he's on it, he's on it. But I just don't think we can keep saying he's just coming back from injury, because how long does a player come back from injury? You see other players in other teams who come back from big injuries, and within a couple of weeks, they're firing, fit and firing. De Bruyne has been out all season, and I'm not putting them on the same level, but De Bruyne has been out all season, and he's already changing games for Man City, and he's going to be back a few weeks. So how long do you give a player?
Again, no. He's a world-class player, De Bruyne. One of the best midfielders, if not the best midfielder in the world. And you don't get to that level without having a certain mentality. So I don't think... I know you're not comparing the two as players. You're comparing the coming back for injury. But people like that have just got a different mentality. Moving away from Raskin, Robert. And again, we do this all the time and I say I don't like it. But we do it all the time, so Aldo, the channel member, Scott Wright. I don't think he showed today that he's utter mince. No, Rangers don't sign people who are mince. They maybe sign people who turn out not to be good enough for Rangers, but they're not mince. I think the performance for Cortez in that first half especially, Robert, I think that kind of shone a light on Scott Wright, did it not?
Yeah, because obviously it showed these limitations, didn't it? You know, we're on about, you know, somebody put in the comments earlier, if McCausland had played, the game would have been different. I'm not too sure about that. I think McCausland probably needed taking out the team and giving a wee rest. I really rate Ross McCausland, but I do think playing him game after game after game after game can take its toll on the youngster. So,
no, but sorry, Robert, on that then point, if McCausland had been rested for two games and come into that game tonight, you would have seen far more on the right-hand side than what Scott Wright showed you.
You can't guarantee that. You've said on this podcast before that to have squad players and players that are going to be happy sitting on the bench, you know, coming on and playing bit part roles, they're going to have to be that sort of ilk. You're not going to get, I don't know, like a Seema coming up and just playing one game here, two games there. You're going to need to have these kind of players that the manager can trust, albeit, yeah, he didn't have his best game, but he has come up for us in other games in the past. So I just think...
I'm starting to change my mind, though, Robert. He's had moments in other games, albeit big moments, right? Scottish Cup final, Europa League semi-final with the assist for Kamara, I get that. He's had big individual moments. But are you telling me that another youngster on the B team would have had a worse game than him tonight if he'd come on as a squad player?
Again, it's difficult to say, and it is difficult to say. The manager clearly doesn't think so, because else he'd be playing these youngsters and they'd be in around the squad, and we're not really seeing that. So, just to afford them the same sort of, you know, defence that Raskin is getting. You know, if people in the comments are saying, and you know, Ian's saying as well, you know, Raskin's not getting a run of games. He's still got to find the manager's system. How about Scott Wright then, who's in out all the time? Why is he not being afforded that same defence as well? So, as I say, didn't have his best game tonight. I'm sure we'll see him again before the end of the season, because I think, you know, it's an option for us. And as I said earlier on, the manager seems really keen on rotation. We're playing a lot of games. He hinted again yesterday that the fitness of the whole squad isn't quite where he wants to be, albeit a great, you know, fortnight in the winter shutdown where he got a bit more into them, but he still doesn't think they're up at the top. So we're going to see more of Scott Wright between now and the end of the season. We just have to hope we see a better version than we saw this afternoon.
Sorry. Excuse me. Ian, was Connor Goldson lucky to stay on the pitch?
Yeah. Yes and no. I know you don't like those ones.
I'll be honest. The reason that I ask is because I'm thinking back to the foul, and I'm not using this as an excuse. I only seen it once. I didn't see the replays. When he's came through and his studs are up and he's obviously shown his studs and he's coming through, does he touch him? Does that matter?
Well, a lot of people tell you that intent's all that matters in that
was
situation.
Was it intent then?
But I don't know if he's intended to try and take him out. It's like bad defence. It's not the type of thing that Conor Goldson does. I think if he fouls him, he might get lucky in the fact that Suter's there. And obviously, if there was anything to have an issue with, VAR would have picked it up. And
should VAR have looked at
it? I'm pretty sure VAR probably did look at it. VAR sees everything. It's the people who control it that should be looking at it. That's the mistake. The common mistake we tend to make is that we say that VAR is rubbish. It's not VAR that's rubbish. VAR is actually fit for purpose. It's the people using it.
Was it worse seeing than the Sterling challenge where Sterling got red?
Yes. I would go there. It was worse than that. That's what I was just about to come on to. But if Sterling's getting sent off for what he got sent off for, then surely it's a red card. If it was, but again, that comes back down to the conversation we had earlier on about the man in the middle and he decided not to bother. So,
Connor. Sorry, Ian, on you go. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, just maybe from my point of view, it's a 50-50. It's a possibility he could have got sent off, but I think if he had got sent off, I'd have been raging all at the same time.
And then I suppose that if you want to, and again, people will go, why are you bringing that up? Because you've got to be honest. And as well, Connor, Silva's running through and goal gets pulled back and the boy gets a yellow.
Yeah, well, again, that's another one for me. I can't. You know, for me, that's a red as well, because he's through and goal, and he's the last man.
Is Goldson a red for you?
Well, if you're going off the metric of Dujon Sterling's red card, then yes, it should have been a red. If that's, you know, the standard that they're laying out for it, the problem is it's very inconsistent, and depending on who's VAR official on the day, depends on whether you get a red card or not, I suppose. But I don't think he could have had too many complaints, if he had been given the red card. I wonder, you know, how much contact he makes maybe comes into it. But again, you go back to the Sterling one. Yeah, I'm glad he didn't get red carded, but if he had, I'm not so sure I'd have been sitting here absolutely, you know, screaming about it, how it was a bad decision. I think he got away with one, as did the United player. So I think in that aspect, you can probably sort of call it evens and go, well, we both got away with one. It could have been 10-10.
The reason I ask, Robert, is because you know what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. There's going to be a similar challenge to that, and the boy's going to get sent off, and it's going to be, well, a Rangers player never get sent off for it.
And around
the vicious cycle of Scottish football goes.
I was going to say, we're going to end up back in this conversation that we just had 20 minutes ago about the standard refereeing inconsistencies. You know, it's the same with the head knock at Easter Road the other night. You know, we'll see numerous challenges like that before the end of the season, and they won't be given this penalty.
Did we not see one in the game the night before at Ibrox?
With Cortez, certainly. Maybe not to the same severity, but certainly there was a challenge similar to it, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. There's just no consistency. We know that, though. Like, we're no stupid as punters. We see that week in, week out. It's just a shame that we've had to accept it.
I know, it is. So, Ian, summing the game up then. 2-0 win, we're through to the quarterfinals. I don't even know when the draw... I think the draw will be made after tomorrow's game, won't it?
Tomorrow night, aye, I think.
Tomorrow night.
I think it's been made just before the Hearts Airdrie game.
Is Rod Stewart doing it? Please tell me Rod Stewart's doing it.
I have no idea, but you know what? There's every chance, because I believe that's in the BBC, so I'm sure.
What is that, Ian? Ian,
what was his impression of Rod Stewart?
That's Rod Stewart impression from last time he did it going...
I genuinely can't laugh. Can we also say, perfect comment for Ian Dill. All the best to Big Bassi in the African Cup of Nations final. Is Joe Aribo in the squad?
Yes,
he's in the squad. Yeah.
Is he playing?
Aye, mate, he came on for Nigeria in the semi-final, aye.
Because I've seen a picture that, and I really struggle to know how that guy runs. But yeah, good luck to Aribo and Bassi and tomorrow night's final. I'll be watching. but yeah, so, sorry. Ian, did I ask you to sum up? I don't know where I am.
You did, yeah.
I'm doing a Willie column here.
We sum it up easy. 2-0, we win, we're through. That's all you wanted. Brown's gone on unhappy, which is something else we wanted. Would have been nice to have scored 5, 6, or 7 past his team just to really rub it in, but we're through. No injuries, no red cards, luckily. And on to the next. Bring them on.
Exactamundo. yeah, apologies for my constant coughing, folks. I do apologise. And a massive thank you to our sponsors as well, NordVPN and Football Prizes. The links for which are in the description. Excuse me. Go check them out. Using the links helps to support the channel as well. Subscribing on YouTube, following on Facebook, following on Twitter, sharing, retweeting, reposting, X, Twitter, whatever it's called. All the links for that's in the description. Go and follow us. We're now apparently the 62nd most popular football fan channel in the UK. So let's try and get that up to 60, and then we'll go to 50, and then before you know it, we'll be number one. Of course we will. Thank you very much, Nicola. So yeah, thank you all for tuning in. How we get an hour, by the way, on a post-match about us where a win over there, United, that was nothing special. I've absolutely no idea. Excuse me. But we'll be back in Monday night with the phone in 7:30. And then, of course, we've got all our stuff next week as well. But I'm going to get out of here before I get any more croaky. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Ian, Connor, Robert. Thank you for all the super chats and the comments. And yeah, we'll see you Monday night. Sports Social Podcast Network.